Welcome to show number 68 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. Bam, we're back, guys. What's up, everybody? We're into the month of December, the last month of 2010. Card companies are jamming things in right at the end of the month. So we've got sets to talk about that have already came out. They kind of came out at the tail end of last month. We've got plenty to talk about on the set front, but we've also got lots of other things going on. We've got box breaks to talk about. It seems like we've done a lot of them, at least for me. I'm not used to opening boxes. I've sold maybe 40 or 50 boxes in one day, but seems like opening four or five in one week seems like even a harder task than just selling them. So it's been actually a lot of fun. I put hard in quotes. It's actually been a lot of fun. We've done tons of box breaks. The first go-round, thanks to our friends at fsfuk.co.uk, and I even put up some fantasy basketball advice on there that actually is looking like it's working out pretty good. I think I suggested Channing Frye on there, who since Robin Lopez went down, he's been playing kind of on and off pretty well. If you're into fantasy basketball, he's definitely put up decent numbers. I can't say that his cards have gone up that much. I don't think Channing Frye is that collectible. Anyways, if he could get more consistent rebounding the ball and scoring the ball, I think his cards could go up. However, I think on the last show or a show before that, I did mention Wesley Matthews or Wes Matthews, as I come to find out. A lot of his cards came out in 2009 and 2010, so last year, and he's usually identified as Wes Matthews. Plays for Portland, and I said that I picked him up on my fantasy team, and it was because Brandon Roy got hurt. Well, what ended up happening was Wes played pretty good. Most of the things I read on Yahoo and around the NBA refer to him as Wesley, so I'm not 100% sure what he's going by or what his... I don't know if he has too many current cards, because he was an undrafted rookie, I believe, that signed with Utah, and then he signed for decent money with Portland while Nicholas Batum was starting over him, or kind of getting the starting spot. I don't know if he was starting over Wesley. I don't know if they even played the same position. Well, the coach mixed it up. Brandon Roy is now healthy, but Wesley is playing and he's in the starting lineup. He also has consistency issues, but not quite as much as someone like Channing Frye. I kind of like Wes. I noticed his cards were starting to pop just a little bit. I put pop in quotes. We're not talking about big, big money. However, if you collected cards last year and you didn't pull a Tyreek Evans or you didn't pull Brandon Jennings or a Blake Griffin, who's really talk about popping. This guy, Blake Griffin, looks like the real deal. This guy rebounds, he scores. It looks like he has his full elevation. He's doing it in Clipperland, which is like playing in the CBA. That's not really true at all. I mean, Los Angeles is one of the biggest cities in the world. So collectors are definitely paying attention. And I know the Cornwell family pulled a really nice prime patch out of Classics last year, Panini Classics 09-10. Blake Griffin, like two-color prime patch rookie card, I think. I think it was like a parallel off his rookie, so it's actually a pretty nice card. So I'm sure something like that has gone up in value. All of his cards, especially his autographs. Blake Griffin has definitely gone up, but Wes Matthews has definitely gone up as well. I put up his checklist if you're looking for some of his cards or if you think that you might have some of his cards if you're interested in that. It's on our website in the basketball little checklist page. You can find that on the homepage on the left-hand side and stuff. But if you collected cards last year and you think you got ripped off, maybe go back through and check, because Wesley Matthews was in some of the sets, and his autographs especially, his autograph rookie cards especially, have been selling for quite a bit more. I say quite a bit more. They've gone up probably 50 to 100% compared to what they were selling for last year, because he wasn't doing quite as much. This guy has, and I mentioned him before because I saw a game where he started and he was kind of in the limelight for Portland. He played really, really well, and he has an explosive quality to his game. His first step is very explosive with the ball. Doesn't play very well off the ball. He kind of needs the ball in his hands. He needs to learn how to move off screens and maybe make subtle cuts on the court to get open. But with the ball in his hands, his first step is as explosive as I've seen in the NBA under control. You know, you see plenty of guys that are very quick. Everybody's quick in the NBA with the ball at the first step, but it's being under control and then being able to make a move or a counter move or a counter dribble, a crossover, something like that after your first explosive step. And I noticed that about Wesley. He has great first step, great getting to the basket, very has good elevation for not a super tall player. Obviously much taller than most of us listening, but good player. He's a good player, and he plays defense. That's another thing that kind of gets underlooked. You will play a lot of minutes in the NBA, and you will get bumped up to being a starter if you play good defense. And this guy does play good defense, doesn't foul a whole lot. Now that I say that, I'm having him in my fantasy lineup. He'll have three fouls in like the first quarter or something, but doesn't foul very much, doesn't reach in, stays in front, very quick with his feet. I like Wesley Matthews kind of as a very, I kind of looked on online. There's not a lot of cards. I don't know if a lot of people aren't catching on or there's people that are and they're just buying a lot of them. But I didn't notice a lot of his cards online. But you do have to search Wes Matthews. I think I originally searched Wesley. He has a couple cards, I think an Upper Deck card, that he, the front of the card says Wesley. Most of the sellers, and I don't blame him, just go off what's on the front of the card. But I do notice there's a discrepancy on what's on his cards and then what you read in the media about him. So you definitely want to search online as Wes Matthews. And I'm not really sure. He has a whole lot of 2010, 2011 products. So, you know, he's a pretty good player. I mentioned him on the last show after only seeing one game or two games where he played well. And I kind of wanted to follow up on him after I'd seen him play. I think I've seen him play two other games where he'd gotten the start over Nicholas Batum. Looks like it's permanent. He played pretty well in one game in the first half and then kind of disappeared. And then another game he played really well throughout the whole game. I think led Portland in scoring, actually. So he's a very good player that not a lot of people are talking about. Not a lot of people talk about NBA sleepers because it's just one of those leagues that there's only 12 guys on the team, only 8 of them play, and 5 of them, you know, and there's only 2 guys on the team that you know. So, but Amare Stoudemire, I wanted to mention him too. I think it's his early season play is worth mentioning. He's having a fan. This is a guy that I don't particularly, I guess because he played in Phoenix and we had a lot, referring to the Lakers, had a lot of matchups against Phoenix. So I can't say I was always a big fan of him. Was very, very happy to see him go to the Eastern Conference because he played great in the Lakers playoff matchup. I think it was last year. He played great, had just made a ton of running hook shots. They look out of control, but he must know what he's doing because he always makes them. And he's having a great season right now for the Knicks. Great early first half for the Knicks. Another guy that's battled injuries but has come back and still not that old. He came right out of high school, so he's not too old of a guy. And another guy, Paul Millsap, another kind of grinder, kind of workers man NBA player. He's having a great, great first half, way above average for him. Amare, we expect great things from him, and his contract kind of demands it. If you're the Knicks owner, you kind of are expecting the numbers that Amare are getting. But Paul Millsap, I'm sure, is getting paid extremely well, much better than certainly I am for doing this podcast or anything else I do. But Paul Millsap is really having a good season, especially for him, way above average for his type of production that he's had in his career. So Paul Millsap, those are all fantasy guys that you want to keep an eye on. Obviously, Amare is not available. Paul Millsap, if you're in like a 4-6-man league, may or may not be available. It just kind of depends. If you got really just owners that don't pay attention, he might be. Wes Matthews or Wesley Matthews still might be available at this point in some leagues. So you might want to check him out if you're into NBA. I know NBA league is not as popular. I found that out actually this week. I upgraded my phone. I was able to finally get into the 20th century here. I upgraded to an iPhone. I didn't get the iPhone 4. It would have cost me, I think I paid $230 for this Dell laptop I'm looking at right now. And that's a lot of money to me, $230. I say $230. That was a big purchase for me. Spending $230 is a lot of money. To get the kind of use I'll get out of this laptop, I'll probably use it for at least maybe 3 or 4 years, maybe longer than that. It's actually a pretty nice laptop. For $200, it was used. It was refurbished by Dell. I think I've gone through the story on a previous show. But so I got a refurbished phone. I could have gotten the iPhone 4 refurbished for well over $200. I think it would have cost me $240, $250. And I was thinking about it. And I was like, wow, do I really want to spend as much on my phone as I just did for my laptop? I said no, but I could upgrade. I did upgrade to a used or like refurbished iPhone 3GS. It would only cost me about $60. The phone cost $19, but you got to pay the original tax on the phone. And out here in California, taxes, for some reason, they charged me, I think, over 10% for tax, or it was right around 10%. That's about right. I think it was over like a 10.75 or something, like something ridiculous, because we have a bunch of little county tax because we built a big stadium in our city. We have a bunch of little taxes and a bunch of little sales tax. Sales tax in Stockton is actually one of the highest in the whole state of California because we have little tiny taxes that are tacked on because we built a stadium and really nice stadium, basketball stadium or kind of a multi-purpose stadium, not a basketball stadium, but kind of a hockey. They use it mainly for hockey and special events and a really nice minor league baseball stadium that I've taken photos from. But yeah, you got to pay the original price of the tax on the phone. So that cost me an extra $40. So for $60, got a nice, really nice phone. And that's pretty cool. And one thing I saw kind of surfing around on it the other day was actually this forum app. You can download it. And it actually, it would turn our forum, I guess, somewhat into an app. It would add kind of a different functionality to it. I've got to install some software on my end. I've got to look into it a little bit, but I saw it. I thought it might be kind of interesting. So if you have an iPhone and something of that would be, I know that I've surfed our forum. It's not too hard to post, but it's obviously not the most convenient thing to do. But if I install this little piece of software, it's actually a $1.99 app or $2.99 app, but for that price, you actually can access other forums. So if like cardcollectorsworld.com installed it or has it installed, or some of these other forums have it installed, you'll be able to access their forum kind of in the same way. It basically turns it into kind of a, I don't know, I'll have to look into it a little more, see if it's even worth it on my end to figure out if it's worth it to install it and then recommend you paying $2.99 for an app. We'll see. I'll test it out and I'll see if it's even worth it. For $2.99 and maybe a little back-end work on me, it might actually be worth it. So I'll see about that. But Ben, Twitter's so much easier on the phone. Email is great on the phone. You know, the $25 extra a month I've got to pay a month is more than I'm paying. I think my internet costs my DSL internet costs $14.99 a month, and I'm paying $25 a month for my phone. But it's actually pretty cool. There's some great apps, and what actually it's going to be able to do, it looks like there's this app. I think I've mentioned this site on the show before. I watch, there's lots of like streaming programs on there. But it's called Justin.tv, and there's all kinds of things. It's usually like just random people just playing. It's basically like the Facebook of streaming video. You can kind of stream whatever you want. But there's an app on my phone that I downloaded, and I was watching TV on it, but there's a way to just go straight from there to your little user account over there. So justin.tv/sportscardradio. When we do our next Brock break, I'm going to test out. My brother's going to record it as usual, and I'll stand over him, and we'll try to do a little live stream of it. And you'll be able to actually, I think it archives it there too, so it might actually be a quicker way to view the video. The people that are online, you know, wanting to know the results right away, and I don't blame, some of them have stayed up really late. I know I apologize for that, some people have stayed up really late on the forum hanging around for results and checking out, and we really appreciate that actually too, that you stay in that kind of commitment, and those kind of things don't go unnoticed and that kind of thing. So, but this might be an easier way to kind of stream the video. So we'll see if it works. I'm not 100% sure if it'll work. We'll test it out on our next box break. And speaking of those, we've got tons going right now. If you signed up for the forum in 2009, I think my brother's got an exclusive contest for you guys. There's people from outside the United States that are fan forum members. We got contests for those. Those are all ending very soon. So you want to get involved on those fairly quickly. Let's see, what else do we got here on today's program? I guess I might as well tease what we have going on today's program. We have top Sterling baseball we'll talk about. We'll talk about Press Pass 5-star racing. This is like super premium. I don't know if I'm sure there's listeners we have out there that can afford it, but I certainly can't. This stuff's like $500, $600, $700 a box or something like that. So it's basically, I guess, the super premium racing set of the year. So we'll talk about those, since those aren't products that we'll open ourselves. We'll talk about those. In terms of the box breaks, we'll probably combine those with some of the sets that we haven't talked about. We had the privilege to open up a certified 2010 certified football, 2010-11 Rookies and Stars basketball. So really excited about that. And 2010 Topps Update baseball, I think we've talked about that. That was from the fantasy sports fans of the United Kingdom. And Bowman Chrome baseball, I think we've talked about those. I'll have to go back and check. If we haven't talked about those, we'll talk about those. I'm not really sure. It's been 2 weeks since we've done a show. They all kind of clumped together in my mind. I can't really remember after I record this segment. I can't remember what I talk about, let alone on the last show. So I'll go back and see if I actually talked about those. Can't remember. But we'll definitely talk about Rookies and Stars basketball. And we'll talk about certified football kind of in the box break. We opened a box. So we'll talk about kind of how that went and kind of how the cards look and kind of what you can expect if you were to purchase a box or a pack or some of the single cards online and things like that. But we'll definitely do kind of a checklist breakdown, I guess, of Topps Sterling baseball and Press Pass 5-star racing. If you're from Topps or Press Pass and you're listening to this and you want me to open up a box and give away the cards and talk about it on the podcast, you can do that. We'll gladly accept especially products like Topps Sterling baseball, but maybe even more importantly, products like Press Pass 5-star racing. Even the Press Pass, I think there are a couple blogs that get Press Pass, and I don't think I saw Press Pass 5-star racing go down. But I did see, if you're interested in that product, as kind of a teaser, I probably should just wait to say this until I talk about the product, but I'll probably forget. But I saw on Press Pass, I don't know how I saw it, I think I saw it on their YouTube. I think I'm subscribed to them on YouTube or something, or on their maybe email list or something. They might have posted on their website, I'm not sure. But they busted a box, and it's pretty cool stuff. It's pretty really nice box. I'd like to just get the box that the cards come in. So pretty cool stuff. If you're into racing, if you don't want to blow $700 on a box, I don't blame you, but there's some nice cards in there if you're into racing. So pretty neat stuff. We'll talk about Press Pass 5-star racing, Rookies and Stars basketball, certified football. We'll talk about the ones that we've opened, kind of the results, all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about that, and I've got a listener. We'll see how long this program is going to be super long. We're going to be talking about COAs. Comes from the Cornwell family on the Sports Card Radio Fan Forum. Certificates of Authenticity, to be more specific. So we'll talk about that. And last thing before we go to break, as we go to break, head on over to sportscardradio.com. Find the Insider Hobby Tips section. Near the top, you'll find exclusive 2010 Panini Gridiron Gear Rookie Hidden Gems autograph pictures. We had the privilege, Panini put us up with six other blogs, Panini blog themselves, the Beckett blog, the Beckett Media blog, and Bustin' Packs, Cardboard Connections, Sports Card Haven, and Sports Card Info. They put us up with those sites. Each of us got five players. We happened to get Sam Bradford, Toby Gerhart, Jordan Shipley, Marty Gilliard, and Joe McKnight. These cards are actually pretty cool. I'm actually hoping, this is fingers crossed, I'm hoping to get a box of this and maybe pull one of these, because they're They're the rookie hidden gems. They've been in products before from Donruss and Panini, but they have autographs, and you can pull out the autograph. They're like on a piece of jersey, and the card, you can pull out the autograph in the card, so it like pulls out. It's actually pretty neat. So we have the pictures of those. If you're looking for, you know, Javad Best or Tim Tebow, Jimmy Clausen, C.J. Spiller, Dez Bryant, who unfortunately got injured, and then Dukamasu, those kind of guys, they're all on the different blogs. So check out ours. I have links to all their pages and the list of the players that you can find on their blog. So you want to check that out. Be sure to check that out. That's in the Insider Hobby Tips section, and it's our exclusive Panini Gridiron Gear Hidden Gems autograph photos. And those don't come out until, I think, 2 or 3 days from now, but maybe by the time this podcast is out, it's about that time, because this is going to be an hour-plus show. Sometimes that takes a day or two to pry through the Podbean servers, but after this very short break, we'll be talking about some of our box breaks that we've done recently, and kind of talking about the products a little bit, and talking about some of the cards that we pulled. We pulled a very, very, very nice autograph card out of the Rookies and Stars basketball box. So I'm excited to talk about that and lots of other stuff after this.
Card Collectors World is a forum where you can buy, sell, trade, and discuss sports, non-sports cards, comics, games, toys, and more. Like to win free stuff? Of course you do. We have contests with loads of free prizes, card drafts, group breaks, and more. It is 100% free to join. Come check us out at cardcollectorsworld.com.
And we are back. Time to talk about some box breaks that we did thanks to PaniniAmerica.net. And they're a nice little blog that they have there, too. They have an awesome blog. They were showing, they have YouTube videos up the other day where they were showing the actual cards being made. Like, I'd never, ever seen that. And they showed pre-production pictures of, like, you know, kind of the cards before they were autographed or before, you know, the jersey had been inlaid in there or another piece of the card had been put on. It was pretty amazing. So, we have a link to their blog on the right-hand side of our homepage, so you definitely want to check that out. We actually had a contest. I think it was Certified Football where you had to check out the blog. So most of you listening are familiar, but that's really impressive. I'd never seen a company actually, and they put video of like the cards running through the machine. They were putting these big sheets of uncut cards through. At least this is what appeared to me. They put these big sheets of cards through these very huge industrial machines, and these sheets of cardboard go in, and then they get cut into very quickly. It's extremely fast, so fast. I mean, these big sheets of uncut cardboard go in, and then it's like boom, they shoot through these cutters, these extremely sharp blades that can cut extremely nice edges and not like leave any saw marks or any sawing, because they're so sharp. The blades are so sharp and they're so like, I guess, you know, it's not really how sharp the blade is, how even it is. It's how level the surface is. So it's really level and it's really straight and flat. It's probably like cut out of like another very high tech machine. So it's extremely quick, and they get shot out, and there's a person at the end that's kind of collecting the cards, and then they move it down the line. It's really fast, much faster process than I thought it was, in terms of just sending a whole sheet in, and then boom, they get shot out, and they're all cut and stacked, and boom. I'm sure it's a little more complicated than that, but from the video I saw, it's pretty amazing. So that's on their blog. So we want to thank Panini for hooking us up. This is like a $80 box or $100, I'm not sure. They've sent us like, I don't even want to know the retail value of what they sent us over the last couple of weeks. It's a lot of money, so we appreciate it. And I know that all of you, we had 24 winners in this 2010-2011 Panini's Rookies and Stars basketball box. We busted on November 27th, so a little while ago, not too long ago. We had 51 total entries, so a lot of people getting involved, 24 winners, so almost half. The big time pull in this was the Superstars Chris Bosh autograph. I believe it was serial numbered out of 10. I want to say 5 of 10. I'm not 100% sure. But that was an awesome card. Obviously, Chris Bosh having a really good season. I have him on my fantasy team. First half of the season, I think he was getting acclimated to... he even had a quote after one of the games saying he wanted to kind of chill. And maybe coming from Toronto and going to Miami, I could see how maybe wanting to chill and maybe kind of enjoy the weather, so to speak, in Miami is what Chris Bosh wants to do. I'm sure if you're making that kind of money, you can enjoy just about anything you want in Miami if you're Chris Bosh. So tremendous card. He's actually, my point being is that I think Chris Bosh didn't get off to a shaky start, but his numbers weren't quite, obviously his numbers, I think, or his production, I should say, is going to go down slightly because he's not the only, obviously you have LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, two of the most prolific stat fillers in the NBA on your team. But those guys draw a lot of attention, should draw a lot of attention when they penetrate to the lane. He should be, I think he should shoot for a higher percentage from the field. And so that, therefore, he might actually score as many points as he did in Toronto, or almost as many points. He's actually having a great last week or so. He's been putting up some good numbers. He's been rebounding, blocking shots, and things like that. So we also pulled a nice Joe Johnson. I forget what it was numbered out of, but it wasn't very many. I think like 54 jersey card. We pulled a Richard Jefferson jersey card, and we pulled a Jamin James autographed team patches. So there was a Nets. It's like a manufactured Nets patch, and it... right on the patch there, the white part of the patch, Damon James has his signature. It's a short signature, but it's not that bad. Some guys that only put like two letters, it looks like he only puts the D and the J, but he puts some effort into the D and the J. You know, there's some people that I've seen that, you know, I can understand you have a stack of 1,500 cards that you have to sign, and you've got practice, and you've got a lot of other things. A lot of these guys have kids and things like that. That they don't have a lot of time to see. So when they're hanging around the house, signing 1,500 cards might not be in the best interest. But actually, I saw a video, to go off topic here really quick. I saw a video, I was watching Netflix. I signed up for like a 30-day trial of Netflix. I'll probably only get it for 30 days because I don't watch a lot of TV. I think I'll be able to watch. I got some free time on my hand in the month of December, so I think I'll be able to watch as much TV as I can in the 30-day trial. But I watched something the other night. It was like an NFL. They were following three NFL draft picks, and they showed one guy, he was signing his Upper Deck cards. He was in his house, and he was like, oh, he was actually excited about it. He was like, oh, he was showing the camera and everything. He was like, I got these cards from Upper Deck. He was actually, they weren't the cards. He was actually got stickers. And so he was signing sheets of stickers. And so he was saying, oh, yeah, I got to sign these stickers for Upper Deck. It was a video from, I think, maybe 2 years ago or maybe two seasons ago in football, or a season ago. And he's talking about how he's got to sign these cards, but he was really excited about it because he used to see cards in the past, and he thinks that it's exciting that people are collecting his cards now. So so some players look forward to it, but some it might actually be kind of a task. So but it's very cool to see. We got 24 people involved. I think we got a lot of the cards shipped out. Shipped out quite a few cards the last week. So if you haven't got them, or if you want to get your cards, you can send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com. There's a list of winners. Got to do a little bit better job of updating my prize closet. It got kind of big. Got doing a lot of videos, but I have it all organized in a box. I've thrown the pictures up on the website. I do have it all organized in a box, so it wouldn't be that hard to go through one day. It just would take me half a day, and I'm kind of lazy, as you can probably tell already. But you can go to popular YouTube video. If you go to our homepage, it's also on the left-hand side, popular YouTube video. And if you know you entered one of the boxes, I do a good job. I think I always put the winners right below and who won. So you'll know if you got a spot in there, you'll be able to watch the video or ask me, hey, what did I win? Or ask me to ship you your cards and say, hey, I won something. So I'll be able to take care of you. Sports Card Show or sportscardradio@gmail.com. We could hook you up. You can always give us a call, 916-222-1116, 916-222-1116. 1-6. Put it in your iPhone, put it in your BlackBerry or Android-enabled telephone, and you'll be able to call us anytime. Leave us a message. I'm not going to pick it up. I don't even have that capability, but leave us a message. I've got about 6 or 7, I think, stacked up in there, so I'm going to put them all together, and I'm going to put them on the Sports Card Focus. And I also have something, a contribution, that's the word I was looking for, from our fan forum, Steel Second. So I'll put that up there too. But I need some other ones. We're probably, even with all that, the voicemails are really short. So we're only looking at maybe like a 10-minute program. So I'd like the podcast to be, that sweet spot is like 20 minutes. So I'd like to be in that range. So give us a call, 916-222-1116. We're in the tail half of the year. Give us your 2010 product of the year, state of the hobby, what you're looking forward to in 2011. Give us, I've shouted out Wesley Matthews for basketball. If you got baseball, I've known we've done contests where we've written down our prospects. Call them in, get it on, get it on the voicemail. That's super, I probably will remember that call out more than I'll remember the ones in the forum, because there's usually like 30 other ones. But you call it in, then you're the man. Then you could say, hey, look at this podcast published on XYZ. You could have called out Steven Strasburg, Jason Hayward, if we would have had those phone lines back then. So call it out. Call out your guys. See who's going to be good. Sometimes it's good. Hey, if you got a stack of 50 cards, they call this pump and dump, but I don't necessarily know if this totally classifies as doing that. But, call on here and pump up your guys. If you got a stack of 50, Amari Stoudemire cards, call on here and tell us that he's like, the sixth leading scorer in the NBA, or he's definitely one of the top fans in any fantasy scoring system. He's one of the top five players. At least he's pretty high up there. He's a lot higher than some other players, even someone like maybe like LeBron. LeBron's having a good season, but LeBron's got a lot of other guys on his team to pass to. Amari's filling it up every night. Knicks actually are a good team. We could have a whole show breaking down the Knicks team. They have a very interesting mix of players. But not to get too far off topic, give us a call, 916-222-1116 on the next break. But we've got something to talk about really quick. Panini Certified Football. We did a box break of this. My brother actually did it, and I had to watch it on video like all of you. Aurelius Ben was the hit, the rookie hit at least. Freshman Fabric is a little dual piece of his, I guess I call that material jersey. It's hard to call those like jerseys because, I know the guy put it on and probably took it off, hopefully. But it's still, I don't know. I'm having trouble figuring out when I'm typing it out on the website. I usually call them like material cards or material jersey cards. I think that's probably the way to refer to those. Player worn. I know they refer to them player worn. Well, a game used jersey's player worn too. But I think material, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm kind of thinking to myself out loud right now. Probably not the best thing for the podcast. So I'll continue on. Colt McCoy, Certified Potential, another kind of player worn jersey card. But this one's nice. It's like half and half. It has like half the brown piece of the Browns uniform, or kind of the blackish brown, and half white. So it's pretty neat. Pretty neat card there. I know that was pretty low serial number, and I don't have the serial number on here for some reason. I kind of missed that. But a really nice hit out of this is, it's always nice to pull Emmitt Smith card. So I know we pulled a Troy Aikman jersey card, and we pulled an Emmitt Smith Fabric of the Game jersey card. So that was pretty cool. A little white piece of jersey from Emmitt Smith. So that's really cool. Another card we pulled was really kind of low serial number Kenny Britt autograph card. And it was a mirror gold. It's like a parallel of the base set. Really nice card of kind of, I like to see those veteran guys. Kenny Britt may not be the most exciting guy to get, but, we got Emmitt Smith out of here, we got Kenny Britt, and we got Colt McCoy, and we got Aurelius Ben. So, we got two rookies. Colt McCoy obviously is having a good season. You never know about Aurelius Ben. I think he's like a wide receiver or something like that. I haven't heard too much about him. I'm not following the NFL too much this year. The Bengals are horrible. I'm kind of down on the NFL, to kind of go off on a tangent again, as we kind of wrap up Certified Football. Really nice cards. It's 10 packs. I think you get it for about $8 a pack somewhere. If you're buying it by the pack, you might get it cheaper if you buy the whole box. But decent box, definitely worth by the singles. I think you'll be able to find a little bit more of a mix of veteran cards. So if you're not a fan of rookies or your team doesn't have like big time rookies that you're into collecting, you might find a little bit more of a mix in here than some of the other sets that are on the market. So like Emmitt Smith was really cool to pull. It's always cool to pull the retired players in football. There's so many good retired players, and it's always nice to get those, I think, even over the rookies, you know. But the rookies are cool. If that was a Tim Tebow freshman fabric, I don't think I probably wouldn't be saying much about the Emmitt Smith. You know, it's always nice to pull jersey cards, especially Cowboys. Even the Emmitt Smith, a one-color jersey piece, even a card like that, not too hard to sell or trade. That's the good thing about those retired Hall of Fame players, is they're never too hard. Even the one colors are never too hard to trade. Whereas like these player worn autograph, even if it's autograph or just the player worn jersey cards, even if he plays pretty good, or especially if they don't become nobodies in the NFL, those are really tough cards to unload, especially just one by one. You almost have to group them up with something a little bit better, or have a bunch of them that you can put together. So it just kind of depends. But that kind of wraps it up there. I wanted to go on a short tangent. The NFL seeking a lockout. This is not to put a downer on the NFL or anything, but I've been kind of rumbling this with my friends, and I guess I better throw it out on the podcast. I think the NFL has a problem. I tell my friends, I kind of go on the extreme. I say that the NFL is on the downward slide. It's on the way down. The NFL is going down. And I don't really mean that the NFL is not going to be a league anymore, but the NFL has had a straight arrow up, and is what we know about anything in nature, in anything, in finance, in your own life. Anything that goes straight up, great, 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 always comes down, even a little bit. But usually when you have a nice, sweet ride all the way up, you usually have a pretty nice way down. You see the MLB had that after everybody found out that everybody was doing steroids, or at least they had a problem with that. I think people knew, but then they realized what a big issue it was and how it could affect younger people. And you know, teenagers should never do steroids. If you're listening to this and you think, oh man, I need to buff up to make the high school baseball team or the high school football team, just work hard. Just get in the gym every day. If you do anything for three or four hours in the gym every day, or 4 or 5 days a week, you're going to get buff. It's not going to be a problem. So start now, and start as soon as you can, and work as hard as you can. You don't taking steroids is definitely going to ruin your football career. That's the one thing that will guarantee that you probably won't get into college and play college football, and probably definitely mean you won't play in the NFL, because you're going to damage your body so much by doing the substance at that age, at any age really, but especially before you're 18, 17, 21 years old, somewhere in that range. You're doing tremendous, way more harm to your body than what your muscles are going to look like. So just work hard, get in the gym. But the problem with the NFL I see is we got these hits, we got all kinds of guys getting hurt. Nobody wants to sit down with their son and watch guys get crunked. Every time I'm watching the NFL, I'm seeing guys get crunked helmet to helmet. Those helmet to helmet hits have been all over and every game I see a guy flat out on the ground, and there's a group of guys, and they go to commercial break. Sometimes they get up, sometimes they don't, sometimes they need to cart them off, sometimes they strap them to the stretcher. Seems like it's happening way, way more often than it used to. I don't know if it's because we can watch many more NFL games now, or if it really is that these guys are getting a little bit stronger, a little bit faster, because advancements in training techniques and maybe even illegal substances and things like that. You never know. These guys look really big on the field and things like that. So I don't know. The NFL just seems really violent to me right now, and it's not really a turnoff to me, but I can definitely see it a turnoff if you're sitting there with your wife, or if you're sitting there with your 8-year-old son. Do you really want to see the guy that he collects and he has his jersey and he's like all a big fan of, and then he gets crunked and he's getting carted off the field? I know that was hard for me to see. I know that brought me to tears if I saw Joe Montana, when Joe Montana had like an elbow injury and got, you know, crunked for like two seasons, I was like devastated. You know what I mean? So whereas now it doesn't really matter. I was devastated when that was only a couple years ago. Carson Palmer had a knee. That was pretty devastating for a couple days for me. But, you know, it's not good. It doesn't happen very often in the Major League Baseball. Doesn't happen in basketball. Now, the problem with that, now to continue on my tangent of the football, the how the league is going to counter with that is all these kind of rules and all these kind of technique changes and rules to football. So it's going to shun away casual fans because you already have these illegal contact and pass interference rules. If you've never watched it, we're, you know, most of you listening are very comfortable watching a football game and understand illegal contact and how that's kind of a touchy call and it's subjective. But as a casual fan, to bring new fans into NFL, as my girlfriend sometimes watching the NFL, she can watch football. She understands it. Maybe she's not a very good example, but somebody that has never watched an NFL game or is just trying to watch it for the first time, all these rules changes and these touchy, like, personal foul calls, they kind of turn casual fans away. Whereas simple games like baseball, simple games like basketball, there are really funky rules. Basketball has funky foul calls, but they're less complicated and less time-consuming than the football ones. So I think football has become kind of complicated, and it's not as a flow game. To watch a game on TV, you're watching more replays than actual game-time action, so you're watching a lot of the game in slow motion, and I don't think football looks as good in slow motion as it does as the players playing full speed and seeing it in live action. So you get a lot of live action in baseball. You get a lot of live action in basketball. So I think those sports will pick up more new viewers over the course of the time than football will. You know, so we'll see. That's just kind of my random take on football. As we talked about Panini certified football, I'm just kind of concerned about football. Aside from the labor agreements, I'm very concerned about football with these injuries. And I'm concerned what they're going to do to counteract them, the kind of rule changes and the adjustment the players are going to make. It's definitely going to change the game. It's going to change how the game is covered on television. It's going to change a lot of things. It's going to change stats. It's going to change players' production. It's going to change the way play calls are being done. These hits that I see happening and where guys are getting laid out constantly, it happens at least once a game. Every game I've seen in the NFL this year, I've got to say I've seen at least one guy laid out helmet to helmet somehow. Usually they bounce back. Usually they're back a couple games later or whatever, sometimes that game. But happens a lot now, and I've seen some guys carted out, so we'll see. I'm not exactly sure what's going on in the NFL. And some of the players, I was watching the Steelers and the Ravens last night, and boy, those guys look big. I know I haven't upgraded to a bigger TV. I've got the same size TV, and I've downgraded. I don't even have HD. So I don't know. Those guys look really big. So I'm not really sure what's going on in the NFL, but they need to work on some things, and I think you'll see sports like basketball and baseball. I think baseball's had some really nice seasons. Teams like the Giants, I don't know how much that helps East Coast fans. East Coast fans, I think, totally tuned out the World Series, but the West Coast is on fire for baseball. The West Coast, especially my Northern California especially, cannot wait for baseball season to start, because the Warriors and the Kings aren't very exciting. They're actually exciting teams, but they're in tough divisions and they can't seem to put together wins. So Northern California can't wait for baseball. And football around here is kind of dead. So I'm not sure. Maybe I'm coming from a really biased opinion. If the Bengals were 9-2, I'd have a different opinion. Or maybe if I was in an area where the two area football teams weren't kind of mediocre. And I put that in air quotes because the Raiders are actually putting together some wins. I know they beat the Chargers yesterday. So they're pretty good. So the Raiders are actually pretty good. I think they have good coaching there. And I think they have a decent mix of players. That team, it's said around all the time. This is said all the time. The Raiders have been great with Al Davis, and they've even been great recently. They haven't been this, it wasn't too long ago. It was a while ago, but it wasn't too long ago they played Tampa Bay in a Super Bowl. So they've been good with Al Davis, but the Raiders will never be a really elite franchise consistently until Al Davis either turns over the team, which won't happen, but really it's until Al Davis is dead. And I feel bad for saying that. Don't mean any harm things for his family. I don't wish anybody to die, but the Raiders organization, I've heard this, I wouldn't say this if I hadn't heard it from so many Raider fans. The Raiders won't consistently be a winner in the NFL until he passes away or passes on the team to someone else. So we'll see what happens. He's the reason why they have that quarterback, what's his name, Jason Campbell. He's the reason why Jason Campbell starts. Gradkowski is any other coach, any other organization that's in charge of that team, Gradkowski's the starter of the Oakland Raiders. But because Al Davis is the owner, it's the reason why Jamarcus Russell played so much last year and the reason why they held on to him for so long. And it's the reason why Jason Campbell is the starter, even when he is consistently outplayed by the backup quarterback. And what everybody says around the team, everybody loves Gradkowski. The players, the coaches, everybody pretty much but Al Davis. So Al Davis might like him, but he likes the money he's paying Jason Campbell a whole lot better. So we'll see what happens with the Raiders. But that's my NFL, my Raider take. Sorry to be so bleak on the NFL, but I might have a different tune. I'm not doing well in fantasy. The Bengals are horrible. They're absolutely horrible. They've been lucky to just be in the games and make them exciting, let alone to have won two. And I just guess I just feel really bad to see players getting laid out consistently every time I watch football. It doesn't matter if I'm watching the Bengals or the primetime games on TV. Every game I watch, somebody gets laid out helmet to helmet. And sometimes the penalty is called and sometimes it's not. So it's a very weird situation watching football, and it's just weird parts of the game that stand out over who won and who lost. It's that hit happened and the penalty was called or it wasn't. It's just weird. Football is just weird to watch on TV for me right now. So we'll see if it changes. I'll definitely catch the playoffs and the Super Bowl, obviously, but we'll see what happens going forward with NFL. I know they got their labor agreement coming up, and that might be their biggest hurdle out of everything. But our hurdle after this short break, maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't on that. That's maybe one of the more out in left field points, I guess, I've thrown out there. If you agree with me or you disagree with me, don't send me an email. Give me a call, though. It's really, this email function on this iPhone is awesome. I'm be able to keep up with email even better. Google's inbox has done it for me. It helped me out so much, but even having this phone will help me. But I want a phone call, 916-222-1116. That's a Sacramento, California area code if you're interested. You can call 24 hours a day, 6 days, 7 days a week. If it doesn't work for some reason, probably means my computer's like kind of frozen up. I got to restart it, but I'm around most of the time. So give us a call. Tell me if you agree. NFL's going down. That's my take. I think baseball and basketball are set to move. One of those two sports, or maybe both of them, are going to move. Right now, I think it's like NFL, and then I think it's ML. Just in those three. In the United, and I'm just taking from a United States of America point of view, I think it's NFL football, Major League Baseball, and then NBA basketball. But I would say within the next 2 to 3 years, either one or both, Major League Baseball and the NBA are going to pass that in a lot of people's perspective. You know, like, I think a lot of people consider the NFL to be the most quote-unquote popular sport or the most watched sport and followed sport, but I have a feeling that's going to get a little stale. I think fantasy football sometimes gets a little stale after you've been doing it for 6 or 7 years, and I think a lot of people have been doing it for that amount of time. So I think baseball, basketball, one of those two sports or both in the next couple years. Give me a call, 916-222-1116 if you agree or disagree. You can put me on blast, and I will play it on the program. Give us a call after this short break. We'll be talking about probably both of them at the same time. Topps Sterling, not at the same time, but at the same segment. I don't know how we could maybe do that. Topps Sterling and Five Star Press Pass, Five Star Racing. We'll talk about that after this. Time to talk about some Topps Sterling baseball, and we're going to talk about Press Pass Five Star Racing. So we got some racing and some Sterling going on. Can't tell you I know a whole lot about these sets, but I do have the checklist up if you're interested. I believe they're complete. I got to do a little work on this Sterling. There's a couple cards. It's very hard to get the checklist, let me tell you. Sometimes it's, when nobody else has it, when the company doesn't have it and they don't provide it, you have to go through and find it yourself. And sometimes you piece it together one by one. And that's what I end up doing most of the time. So it takes a while. End up doing that with Topps Sterling Baseball. Came out November 24th. You get one mystery pack per box and one theme player pack per box. And the theme player, I believe, is you get like an individual player like Babe Ruth or like Mickey Mantle or something like that. And there's a mystery pack that has a framed parallel or cut signature card in it. Stuff's really expensive. That's probably why I don't know a whole lot about it. There's some very, very nice cards in here. There's Steven Strasburg, but I noticed there's like Mike Piazza in here. That's kind of cool. The base set actually consists of 150 cards, but it's far less. I'm not exactly sure how many players are because there's like four Nolan Ryan cards. So you'll have Nolan Ryan in each of his uniform. You'll have Manny Ramirez in all three of his uniforms, I guess the Red Sox. The Red Sox, he actually had four or five, I'm not sure, but they have three cards listed here. I think he started out with the Cleveland Indians, if I'm not mistaken. So and then you have guys like Jackie Robinson that only played for one team, so he only has one card. Babe Ruth has two cards. Vladimir Guerrero has three cards. Greg Maddux has two cards. So some guys have two cards. So if you're a fan of one of them and you picked up one of their cards, Alex Rodriguez has three cards. So, you know, might want to check on that. If you got one of the cards and you think you might have got them all, you might want to check the checklist to see if they have two. If it's a player, you know, Cal Ripken Jr. is only going to have one. But there's a lot of players that played for multiple teams. So especially Nolan Ryan, I know there's lots of Nolan Ryan card collectors and stuff. If you're keeping up with the new stuff, and Tom Seaver as well. I know I get emails from a really nice guy, really nice Tom Seaver collector, and there's actually three of his on there. So you definitely want to check out that. But some really nice cards in here if you're willing to fork over the money. So I think every box, not going to say you're going to get your money back And I'm not going to say that you're going to get your money's worth, but there's some nice cards in here if you're willing to gamble. I think by the single card, you definitely can't go wrong in here. Definitely by the if you're a gambler. And that's one thing that, you know, I guess I am. I guess I'm a conservative gambler. But if you're a conservative gambler in baseball, this might not be too bad. I think you could hit it big in here. This is definitely a product that you could hit it big, where you could open up a case of Bowman Chrome Baseball, or you could open up a box of, you know, whatever. I can't really even think of, you know, even like Topps Finest Baseball, you know, that's pretty expensive. It's $100-something odd a box. It'd be even more, I think, if it had Steven Strasburg. But it has Hayward, and I think it has Posey. I think it has Steven Strasburg redemptions in there. But, you know, a box like that, I think, I don't think the ceiling is even as high as Sterling, because you got cut autographs of, like, Babe Ruth in here. You got five-piece autographs of, like, Carl Yastrzemski. I mean, there's just a lot of really, a lot more diversity in terms of the Hall of Fame players in here. I think this is definitely, if you're looking for the rookie cards, maybe Finest isn't the set to compare it to. That was the only high-end top set that came to my mind. Maybe like Triple Threads, I think maybe I'd gamble, I guess, if you were to do a toss up, and maybe I should have done this. I'm not exactly sure the price point. I think this is even more expensive than Triple Threads, or maybe even like a Top Sterling or something like that. There was another set in there that was like in that $200 range. I think Sterling is probably Top's, maybe one of Top's better high-end gambles, if I could say that. I don't know if I could say that, because if you don't hit one of these big-time autograph cards or autograph relic cards, you're going to be pretty disappointed in terms of what you paid. But if you're, like I said, this is more from the gambler's perspective. There's cut signatures in here. I see 20 right here. I see Mariano Rivera on there for some reason, but I don't know why that would be a cut signature. I see Bo Jackson on there. I don't know. Hannes Wagner, we'll see. You know, Topps Baseball, at this point, it's the end of the baseball season. We're all waiting for 2011. I don't know if anybody's going to get too excited about baseball. Although Bowman draft picks and prospects, I think, comes out towards the end of this month or the middle of this month. That might be a decent set. I think that has some Bryce Harpers. Hopefully they make it in there like they were supposed to make it. The redemptions were supposed to make it into Bowman Chrome. I'm sure they'll work it out by then. So that's Top Sterling Baseball. I think it's a decent gamble. Again, it came out November 24th. Single cards, you can't go wrong. By the box, I'm sitting here kind of like stumbling on my words, I guess. By the box, it's up to you. I can't recommend. I don't know what this is, but it's well over $100 a box. It's probably in the $200 range. I can't sit here and recommend that you spend that kind of money and feel good about it. But if you're a gambler, if that kind of money is nothing to you, I say why not? You know what I mean? Because I think there's enough Hall of Fame players in here. I think there's enough potential to hit an autograph. If you're looking to turn around and sell online, I think this is kind of one of those sets, a gambler set that might work for you as well. But don't expect to hit the big one, especially in a set like this. I mean, it's made to sell for a really high price point and deliver some really nice hits, but there are a lot of duds, and there's all, I say duds because you're going to get some nice cards, but if you're looking to turn around and sell on eBay, it just doesn't happen. That's just not how product works. If you could get your money back on the product that you open up on a very large percent of the time, that's when the box prices like soar. That's when they go up 100. That's like Bowman Chrome or regular Bowman Baseball in June. It was started, that box should have been like $50, $60. That's what Bowman usually cost. And I think it was selling for like $180. So that's what ends up happening. Press Pass, speaking of really expensive boxes, not exactly sure what they're selling for now, but I have right here pre-sale boxes, when I looked originally, were selling in the $660 to $700 range. This came out right around December 1st. Each five-card box, it's in a real wood box, too. They said it wasn't faux wood on the video. It was like a legit, that's why I said I wanted one of the boxes, because it's actually a really, really nice box. It's a legitimate wood box. I think, I don't know, something like that in the store, unfinished, would still cost you $5 or $6 at like a craft store. and all finished and glossed out like that, it's actually a pretty nice box. I'm sure people are selling them. So, but you have one base card numbered to 35 or less, one dual, triple, quad, or oversized memorabilia piece numbered out of 25 or less. You get one autograph out of 35 or less. You get one autograph or memorabilia card out of 50 or less, and you get one classic compilation book card, and that comes in its own pack. There's actually two packs within the box, and I'm glad I saw the video, because there's actually one pack with all the regular, I put regular, these are really thick cards, in one, and then there's one, I think the gold pack has the book card in it. So there's actually two packs, two little box packs within the somewhat larger wood box that the packs come in. So it's pretty neat. And the boxes, you actually should buy this. It looked like it comes in a white box, and then like kind of like a white, just kind of plain shoe box kind of thing. And then it's wrapped in plastic, and then you have shrink wrap, and then there's a sleeve over the wood box. So be careful how you buy this stuff. Be very careful how you buy a box like this. If you're going to spend $700, go from one of the top two or three retailers online if you're doing it that way. Don't mess around with a product like this if you're going to spend that kind of money. Make sure it comes sealed up. And if the price is lower online at a place and it's much lower or $50 lower than everywhere else, there's probably a reason for that. So be very careful. I'm not saying this by experience or because I know something like this is going on. I'm just saying high-end product like this, just be very, very careful. $700 boxes where you get some, there's Dale Earnhardt Sr. cut autographs in here. There's Wrangler suits of Dale Earnhardt Sr. and Dale Earnhardt Jr. I guess Dale Earnhardt Jr. got to drive the Wrangler car just in one race a while back, and they got the suit, and they have the original Wrangler suit from Dale Earnhardt Sr. Those are in here. You got Danica Patrick in here. You got obviously like Jeff Gordon, and this is only like the cream of the crop. Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Jimmy Johnson. I mean, the checklist is kind of redundant, you know. Richard Petty, it's the same guys. It's the same drivers, so there is going to be a lot of consistency box to box. So I won't say that like box searching goes on, but I will say there's some very, very nice patch cards in here, and I can imagine that compared to some other cards within the set, that there's some discrepancies there. And I don't mean to give out too much information there. I'm not sure what I'm trying to do, but I'm just trying to warn you. If you spend $700 on a box, go from one of the top two online retailers, and if one of them wants to send me a check, I'll say your domain by name. You can make the check out to sportscardradio.com. You can give me a call too, 916-222-1116. So that's Press Pass 5-Star Racing. Be careful buying boxes of that. Buy the single card. I don't think you can go wrong. I think there's a lot of premium patch. I don't think there's a lot of one color stuff in here. A lot of the patches in here are going to be premium, so you're not going to see a lot of switching of those. Pretty nice cards. I'm not trying to put a downer on this set. This is a very, very groundbreaking set for racing. I should end on a positive. This is a groundbreaking set for racing. I don't think they've had something like this. If you're into racing, I don't know if you've had a set like this. If you can't afford it, you might not need it. But there's base cards numbered out of 35 in here. So, and you know, there's only 25 of them. So if you know, even if you can't afford, you know, the Tony Stewart autographs that are in here, or the Danica Patrick autographs, or something, or the, you know, the Kurt Busch autograph, or whatever, you know, the base cards are going to sell for a lot of money out of 35. But if you want to fork over some money and get a really nice card out of 2010, I got to say, for an unautographed, no jersey, just straight serial numbered base card, those have to be some of the those are going to be some of the most collectible base cards for sure out of 35, a $600 box. So pretty cool. Basically, the exquisite of racing. That pretty much what this reminds me of, with a lot of book cards and things like that. There's even like quad book cards. I see one here of Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Mark Martin, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. So, and it's all quad autographed, and it has patches of, like, prime patches of, like, these guys' fire suits. And they said on the press pass video, too, with the fire suits that these guys wear, and I can imagine they go through, I don't know if they wear, I'm guessing they wear a brand new one every, the guys at the top end wear a brand, I mean, the, you know, the mid-level racers, they got to wear the same fire suit for a while, because those things are expensive. But I bet that the top end racers, I don't know, those things might be kind of expensive. Maybe they get them dry clean, but I can imagine you sweat through that thing quite a bit. It might be kind of nice to get a new one every single race. And the kind of money these guys make and the kind of sponsor logos they got all over that thing, I can imagine they can afford a new fire suit every race. So maybe that's the reason why they can load up on patches. But there's I'm looking at Tony Stewart's chest right here. He's got Old Spice. He's got Ritz Crackers. He's got Old Spice in all kinds of places. He's got Bass Pro Shops. He's got Office Depot. I mean, this guy is like, there's even more on here. I can't really read him, but he's got tons of them. So he's got a bunch of, like, car ones, too, like motor part ones. So pretty interesting. You know, racing cards are really cool. If I had more money, I'd probably drop on one of these cards. I'd try to buy, like, I kind of like Dale Earnhardt Jr. I think he doesn't win quite as much as the expectations are put on him. But considering what happened to his father, and he's trying to kind of go, he's like basically walking in his father's footsteps at this point, and he's trying to live up to those expectations. And for the most part, I think he does a pretty good job. Not on the winning wise. I don't think anybody could ever do what his father did, or there's people that can, but I don't know. It's really hard, obviously, to have the kind of run that his dad did. So I'm kind of a fan of his. If I had a little bit more money, I'd plop one down on him. But he's got lots of fans. His fans run deep, so his stuff's kind of expensive. Maybe I need to follow one of these lesser popular racers. So I can imagine the Danica Patrick cards out of here go for big-time money. And speaking of autographs, and speaking of kind of making sure you get exactly what you pay for, we'll talk about certificates of authenticity, or COAs, thanks to the suggestion from our fan forum by the Cornwell family. So we'll talk about that. Some other people have chimed in. I'll check out those. I'll read those and see what they have to say. We'll have that segment. That'll be our last segment. So we'll talk about autographs, making sure they're real. And we'll break it out of here right after this. Time to wrap up the show here, talk a little bit about COAs, or Certificates of Authenticity, and our fan forum member, a very loyal fan forum member, the Cornwell family, comes in and says, just wondering if any ideas, if you can talk about COAs, and how to figure out if they're legit or not. And I guess the short answer to that question is most of them are fake. I would say that most of the COAs that I see floating around there that are not from a major company, and there's even major companies that are COAs that are made to seem like they're from major companies, or there's some major backing behind the authenticity of that autograph. But really, it's just a glorified piece of paper that came out of the HP inkjet printer. So whether or not they're legit or not is up to you, and really is often up to your own skills. But usually the things that I look for to tell whether or not an autograph is legitimate or not is not often what the piece of paper says. Now, I'll get into the companies that I find that I think are legitimate here in a second. And that's obvious. I think you're pretty much, you're buying the reputation of the company a little bit when you're buying autographs from a certain group of companies that I'll mention. It's certainly not a full list, but it's the ones that come off the top of my head and ones that I've spent my own money on. But I think there's a lot of autographs floating out around there that don't have certificate of authenticities on them. And usually when I was at that San Francisco card show, I saw so many autographs that I thought were definitely fake or definitely had a great possibility to be faked, mainly because the way they were presented, the way the jerseys are presented. I saw unprotected LeBron James jerseys just out on a table with no tablecloth, just out there signed LeBron James jersey, you know, $200 or whatever it was, you know, and the jersey's kind of dusty and things like that. That is absolutely fake. That you know, if you have a LeBron James autographed jersey and you, as a hobby store owner, you spent the money to acquire that item, you would protect that jersey and you make sure that jersey doesn't get dusty, or that jersey would be framed, or it'd be in the original Upper Deck box, who is the only company he really is supposed to sign for. You'd have that all intact. So anything by athletes that are really Upper Deck athletes, especially guys like Ken Griffey Jr., guys like LeBron James, guys like Joe Montana, who was with them in the past. They have many other athletes, Michael Jordan. If you're going to buy one of their autographs, don't buy anything other than the Upper Deck version, because there's absolutely no reason to, because Upper Deck puts out enough of their product. They put up little coupon codes and they put things on sale enough that you can afford an Upper Deck authenticated item from Michael Jordan or Tiger Woods or one of those athletes far easier and far cheaper than if you were to buy one that was supposedly got at a game or a private signing. These guys don't do private signings. LeBron James is not going to sit down in a room and sign 50 jerseys for anybody, unless it's a company that he has a contract for. So sure, there's certain charity things, and there's certain things that are issued to the team, and there's certain things LeBron James might sign onto the stadium, but it's typically not the sweet spot of a jersey or the sweet spot of a particular item or a basketball, especially. So be very careful when you're buying, especially elite athletes that already have exclusive deals and exclusive contracts with companies like Upper Deck and some other companies that are out there. Steiner Sports also comes to mind. There's lots of, I don't know if they run exclusive deals, but they have a lot of Yankee guys come through there. So I don't know. If you're in the market for Yankee memorabilia, you might as well. I know these companies mark it up and you're paying lots of money typically for these autographs, but you're getting what is as close to what you believe to be as authentic as you possibly can when you buy from these companies. So that's basically my take on that. Upper Deck's not the only one. I think PSA, DNA, in terms of third-party authentication, obviously Babe Ruth didn't have an Upper Deck contract, or Mickey Mantle didn't have an he might have, actually. But some of these guys obviously passed away far before they had contracts to sign a bunch of cards. So they're on baseballs, or they're on programs, or they're on pennants and things like that. And you can actually send that item, just about any item, I believe, into the company, or you can, I think, get certain things done at shows, and they will authenticate it for you. And I believe that service to be fairly good. Obviously, you're reliant on whoever they have sitting back there as an expert to analyze. And obviously, there's a reason why forgeries exist, is because it's not really that hard. But a true expert should be able to know. He should be able to date Also, date the item it's on. If it's something from Mickey Mantle, I don't know when he passed away, but it was somewhere in the 90s. You know, if the item is newer than that or can't possibly much older than 4 or 5 years old, then it's obviously a fake. So same thing with Babe Ruth items. Anything autographed of his should be extremely old and should show very obvious signs of age. And just about anything from paper to anything, old baseball cards, even baseballs themselves, they all deteriorate over time with age, some obviously more than others. And there's definitely signs of that. And there's obviously ways that forgeries and guys like that try to fake this kind of stuff. But basically, it's actually very difficult to fake true aging of a photo or true aging of a baseball, the yellowing of a baseball and how the seams will naturally keep pulling apart from the leather. Very hard to fake that. So obviously those things are tough to do, and we'll see what happens going forward with authentication. But I think PSA DNA is a good one. I think Upper Deck is a good one if you're buying things from them. If you're buying items from their exclusive lineups of athletes, TriStar I think is a fairly good one too, because they get so many of these guys coming to their shows. TriStar puts on these shows. They put on the one I went to in San Francisco, so I think that you can very comfortably buy from them because they have so many of these guys come in person. I'm sure they're in the back real quick and they sign, their commitment for TriStar for the event. I'm sure it's all part of their contract and their appearance fees and things like that. So, I think that company is definitely very reputable, and there's definitely several other ones out there. Obviously, whatever you pull within packs, within these tops and Panini packs and things like that, those, especially the cut signatures, I think the companies, obviously, we can't be for certain. Nobody was alive in 1933 or whatever to see these guys sign these cards, so nobody's for sure. But with the, and obviously fakes have happened forever. People were faking Babe Ruth signatures way back then to try to sell them. So there's, things can, you can't just tell by the age of the item because fakes have happened for a long time. So, it's one of those things. You got to be very careful with what you're buying. You want to take as many steps as possible. If the COA is guaranteed by some blah, blah, blah sports card shop or some blah, blah, blah domain that you've never heard of, that's just printed off of a piece of paper, and there's no way you can tell that. I actually found a Michael Candy, like a little piece of wood here, and it says on the back, 100% guaranteed, visit this website. You go to the website, the website's gone. The website doesn't even exist anymore. So usually that's what happens. You can't be guaranteed of anything on the back. After a while, in 30, 40 years, any little sports card shop that's guaranteeing that autograph is going to be out of business. So you have to be very careful at what you're buying. I think photos of the guy signing it can be helpful. However, if they just have one photo of, Chris Bosh signing a generic 8x10 and they find that 8x10 photo, it's not very hard to then fake Chris Bosh's signature and sign as many as you want of those and say you have a photo right there of Chris Bosh signing it. So be very careful of everything. I think if you're spending north of $100 for something, buy only from the companies that you know are legitimate. Upper Deck, Tops, even though Upper Deck has had some troubles and things like that, and yes, they've made fake Yu-Gi-Oh cards and things like that, faking autographs is just something I don't necessarily see them doing. I just don't see the demand there where they would have to. Whereas Yu-Gi-Oh cards, yes, I see you just keeping the printer on a little extra longer and pushing some cards out the back. I see that. Definitely finding somebody other than Tiger Woods, who you already have a contract with and an agreement with to sign something, just doesn't make a lot of sense. Whereas the other way, it's really stupid business and it's a really dumb thing that Upper Deck did. But I could see how a corrupt business person could think that way and think that you could get away with something like that. So whereas fake autographs, There's a lot of other steps where it actually probably end up costing you more money than to just have Tiger Woods sign them himself. So I just think if you're buying from that company, you're pretty much legit. I think anything certified by a third party, like PSA DNA, and NASCAR 360 threw out there, that I've known of this service they had. If there's an auction online or something like that that you're not sure if the autograph's legit, they have this service. I think it's fairly affordable, especially if you're paying $300 or $400 for something or more than that. They'll check out the auction for you, or they'll check out the signature, and they'll give you kind of a warning, you know, hey, this might be legit, this might not be legit, these are the things they're looking at. So they'll give you kind of a, you know, kind of a pre-grade, so to speak, on something. So you can, if you're interested in making a larger purchase or something of that nature, you can kind of look into it in that way. So just thought I'd mention that as well. But those are really the companies. And TriStar comes to mind because they have so many athletes show up in person. Those are the ones that come to my mind. I think if you're a fan of an athlete, I think there's always opportunities for you to get the autograph. Might cost you a lot of money. If you really, really want their autograph, I think you go to the biggest and best company and you pay the money for whatever it is. But if you don't want to go that route, instead of buying it from some, you know, creepy COA kind of place and finding out later that it's fake, finding out years later, what it'll end up happening is you'll find out many, many years later that it's fake. I think that you probably would be better off just trying to hunt the person down in person. You know what I mean? I wanted Tiger Woods' autograph. I was a big fan of him. This was 10 years ago. And I really wanted his autograph. I really wanted to see if I could hang around Tiger Woods all day to get his autograph. And, you know, that's what happened. I got an opportunity to get him. I've never hung around Kobe or tried to get Kobe's autograph, but I'm sure if I tried to get Kobe, I probably could find a place in Los Angeles where he hung out, or where he, you know, bought his groceries, or wherever. You'd be able to find out, you know, where you could probably get a chance to get Kobe's autograph in Los Angeles. There's a lot of ways you can get these people. You can go to events. You can go to a lot of charity golf tournaments are probably the best way. Golf in general is one of the best autograph sports because you can get so close to the people, and there's always usually designated areas for autographs in golf. But charity golf tournaments are great because the guys are there, they're in a great mood, they're usually there, it says charity, usually athletes are getting paid, they're definitely getting a free round of golf and free lunch and dinner, and they probably get put up in a really nice hotel and everything, they're probably getting a free rental car. So they're on top of the world at charity golf tournaments. They are usually very generous. I know Michael Jordan is known to be fairly generous whenever he signs at Tahoe. That's probably one of the best places ever to get Michael Jordan in person, is at the Reno Tahoe little celebrity golf tournament they have there. I know Ben Roethlisberger has played there, and I know he's gotten in a little trouble there, but I know he's signed autographs there, and there's lots of other people there. So that's the event that comes to mind if you want to travel to one of the most beautiful places in the world and get some in-person autographs. I think the Reno Open or the little Tahoe Celebrity Golf Championship that they put on NBC every year. That's one of the best ones. Well, that about wraps up the show today. Hopefully you enjoyed this segment. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast. We'll have another one definitely before Christmas, since that's a week or two away, although I've been kind of lazy, but we'll get on this, and we'll have more shows coming at you. We've got tons of things to talk about. Head on over to the forum, sportscardradio.com/forum. Sign up. Get involved in all our contests. My brother's got a boatload of cards coming today or tomorrow. We're going to be got tons of breaks this week. Tons more coming throughout the rest of this year and into 2011. So check us out. We'll be back soon. Good luck with your collections. We are out of here.